welcome to our services here at Dover First Baptist for our Sunday night service. We're not meeting in person tonight due to the incoming winter storm coming, so we're going to live stream it now and be able to have it viewed so you can watch it either currently with us as we're here or later on this evening when you get a chance to do so. And so welcome all you who will be watching. You're right over there, and I have to look at you most of the time over this way. We're going to start. We'll structure like the regular service, so we'll sing a couple of songs, and we'll make melody. Myself and our missionary Logan will make melody on some of these songs. You can sing along with us, or you can laugh at us as we attempt to sing ourselves. So our first hymn we're going to sing is 540. First and last verses of Send the Light. 540. All right, we're going to pray, and then we'll continue further. Father, we thank you for the day you've given to us. We are thankful that we have the technology to be able to stream a service, even though we're not able to meet here in person tonight. I do pray that you would be with those who are in the storm's path, us included, but those who are going to have it even worse, that you would help protect them, that their power would be able to stay on, or if it happens to fail, that they would be able to find a spot to stay warm, and that you would preserve the life of those who are in the path of this storm here tonight and into tomorrow. Be with us here as we worship you, and as we worship in our houses this evening or in the next couple of days, and that we would, as we look into your word this evening, you'd be with our brother as he preaches, and I pray that you just help us just to be open to what your word has to say. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you can have a seat, or if you're standing at home, you can have a seat also. And just a couple of quick announcements here, just a couple of minutes from now, Brother Logan will be presenting and are preaching this evening, and you got to hear his video this morning, and be able to know a little bit about him, and so now you'll hear his heart this evening. A couple of announcements we just want to share. Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, we'll be having our prayer meeting and Bible study continuing in the book of Acts and looking at prayer again this week, because prayer is a very important topic and we really want to look at that on Wednesday night. Friday night, 6:30 is our WASA program. So if you know any children who just need to show up and parents or grandparents and have a date night, drop them off. We'll handle them and you just have a fun night for a little bit. And so that will be on Friday night. And then again, next Sunday, we'll be meeting together, hopefully for both services, depending on our weather situation. A couple other announcements is the 7th of March, so not this Saturday, but the following Saturday. We would like to take some young people to a youth rally in Waterbury, Connecticut. So if you know of any teenagers that think they would be able to enjoy some time there, it's $10, but if cost is an issue, we'll cover that to make sure they're able to go and be able to spend some time with some other young people and hear the Word of God preached. And then Easter's coming up, and we're going to talk a bit more about that. We have some flyers. Some of you took some this morning, and there's still plenty available left for us to hand some out. We're going to continue on the service here this evening with our, before we do that, we like to highlight on Sunday night our missionary, and for this week, we want to highlight the Fairchild family, who serves with Baptist Mid-Mission, and they're serving in Indonesia, reaching and discipling the next generation of Indonesian gospel proclaimers, and so I'll just be praying for them as they're out there on the field. Their most recent prayer letter is actually on our back pew, so if you get a chance to, when you come back again, to look at that and read that over. We read it a couple of Wednesday nights ago. So other than that, I believe that's all of our announcements. We're going to sing our next hymn, which is hymn number 570-570. All three verses of a hymn that I feel a lot of people enjoy, The Sweet By and By. And then after that, without any further word from me, actually after that I'll talk a little bit about our speaker, and then after that he will come and preach for the evening service here. 570, Sweet By and By, the first and the last verse. All three verses. We're privileged to have missionary Logan Bankson and his family here with us, and we do want to pray for the youngest daughter, McKenna. She had a fever early this morning, and so she wasn't able to come, and his wife Brittany is at home trying to help get her well and better. So that's why you didn't get to see her this morning, or the younger two children that they had. But Logan and Brittany, we go way, way back. I've known his wife since she worked at the summer day camp program that I used to work at many years ago. She claims it's earlier than 09, but happy wife, happy life. Girls are always right, so she was probably right. Anyway, so, and then I met her husband right around the time they got married, and we've been close friends ever since then, even though we don't talk because we're always halfway across the world, so it's a little hard for that. But he's in New Zealand serving as a church planner, and they're working with the church currently. And just looking forward just to seeing how God can use them and in their family, and just be praying for them as they travel. From here, they're going to Pennsylvania, then to a missions conference in Virginia, if somehow New York doesn't keep them snowed in. And then after that, they go back to Florida, and then a couple other different places, I think, in the South before they fly back over to New Zealand to continue the work in May. So without any further word for me, Brother Bankson, come and share with us what God has for you this evening.
All right. Thank you very much. Okay. I turned it on. Hopefully it is working. All right. Yes, we enjoyed being with you this morning. I really enjoyed spending time in the Sunday school with all the adults there, and it was good to get to know some of them, get to talk with some of them there, and also just get to talk around God's word, and then get to share some of my heart and that with them during that time. And so really, really enjoyed that time with them. So thank you for letting me be a part of that. And I probably talked a little more than I should have, and I apologize, but I really enjoyed it. So just know that. And so I'm thankful to be here this evening. Good to get to see Pastor Chris and his family. Pastor Chris Lewis and his family, and I haven't got to see them for several years. I think the last time I saw them was two and a half years ago. I was down there visiting. It was just myself and my wife and kids were all in New Zealand. And so, we were, was that? No, yes, no, no kids for you yet. Not yet, not yet. We have enjoyed it. Being here, and my kids have enjoyed seeing the snow, even though the blizzard hasn't happened yet, but all the snow that's here right now, it's more than they've seen in a long, long time, as we don't get snow on the North Island where we're at, just one little mountain, little peak in, called Mount Ruapehu on the North Island, and so that gets the snow, and people go up there for snowboarding and skiing and things like that. But other than that, don't really get any other snow on the North Island. The South Island gets some. They get some of the penguins that come up, the blue penguins. We get some that come up to the top of the north, or the bottom of the North Island where we're at, so we get to see them sometimes. So that's pretty cool. I was trying to think of, before I got started, I was trying to think of some things that I didn't mention this morning, but I also got to be mindful of the time as well. And I tell you though, it's very. I enjoy preaching when there's people here, and there's not a lot, there's nobody here. So, but there's two really handsome guys here. your pastor here. Our wives would agree with that. Yes, everybody else is like, some bald head you got there. All right, Hebrews chapter 11 is where we're going to be at, and this is why I was excited, because Pastor Chris Lewis had asked me what the text that I was going to be preaching from, the title and all that, and I had sent him the one that I had been doing while I was here, and then afterwards God kind of didn't let me have any peace about that. And this is a sermon that I had preached. I think it was. It's been about 5-6 years since I preached it, and God brought it back to my heart, and so I texted Pastor Chris and said, "Hey, is it too late to change the text and everything that I'm going to be preaching on?" And he said, "No." And so I said, "Okay," and I sent him that, and then I get here this morning for Sunday school, and the Sunday school class was talking on some of the verses that we'll be looking at this evening. So it was quite amazing how God works everything out. And so I pray that this is a blessing and a challenge and encouragement to you this evening. So we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to start in verse 37 is where we're going to be. We're going to read the rest of chapter 11 and then a few verses into chapter 12 this evening. So Hebrews chapter 11 verse 37 says, "They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect." Chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much just for the opportunity to be in your house this evening to preach the word of God, and I pray that you will be with the message this evening, be with everything that is said and done. May it bring honor and glory to you, that they will be your words and not mine. And I pray that everybody that is here physically in person and all those who are tuning in right now, as we hear the word of God preached, that we will allow ourselves to not just be hearers of the word only, but to be doers as well, that we will take what we hear, apply it to our lives, and allow ourselves to not be the same people that we were when we walked in this building or when we tuned into this live stream, that we will allow ourselves to be changed by the word of God, convicted, challenged, encouraged from what we hear this evening. Lord, we love you. We thank you so much for all you've done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So one thing I don't really usually write down titles for my messages, but the theme of this message is how our world is focused on results. And as Christians around the world, sometimes if we're not careful, we can allow our service for God, we can allow what we do be solely based upon and around results. And so we're going to look at this evening how God doesn't care about results. God cares about obedience. And God says that he is the one that brings the increase. And so Clovis Chapel, a minister from a century back, used to tell the story of two paddle boats. They left Memphis about the same time, traveling down the Mississippi River to New Orleans. And as they traveled side by side, sailors from the one vessel made a few remarks about the snail's pace of the other. Words were exchanged, challenges were made, and the race began. Competition became vicious as the two boats roared through the deep south. One boat began falling behind. Not enough fuel. They had plenty of coal for the trip, but not enough for the race. And as the boat dropped back, an enterprising young sailor took some of the ship's cargo and tossed it into the ovens. And when the sailors saw that the supplies burned as well as the coal, they began to fuel their boat with the materials that they had been assigned to transport. They ended up winning the race, but burned their cargo. You see, they got so focused in this race, they got so focused on actually winning the race, that they forgot the main goal of their trip was to transport the cargo from point A to point B. They got so focused on winning that they failed what they were tasked to do. And so this evening, I want you to ask yourself a question. I want you to think about this as we hear the message this evening. And the question is this: what are your priorities when it comes to obeying God? What's your priority when it comes to obeying God? So we're going to look this evening at three reasons to live a faith-driven life rather than a results-driven life. See, too many people choose to obey God once he proves himself or once he gives a sign. And so this evening we're going to look at how to live, three reasons to live a faith-driven life rather than the results. And the first reason that we see is found in the end of chapter 11. We see here, and really all of chapter 11 is an entire chapter about faith. But the first point here is the Old Testament believers did not receive all that was promised to them. They endured afflictions believing in a promise that hadn't much proof. You see, when we look at verse 37, it says they were stoned. They were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. And how many of us base what we do on the results that we are seeing? And I'll give you an example of this. Sometimes God leads a person to lead a Sunday school class. And maybe when they first start that Sunday school class, a few people are coming. And then all of a sudden something happens and no one's showing up. Maybe no one, or maybe one person is showing up and that's it. Now, do you continue to plan? Do you continue to prepare for each week, knowing that, hey, maybe somebody doesn't come, but what if somebody does come? Are you going to continue to be willing to be that Sunday school teacher even when there's no one there? Planning, preparing, being ready, maybe going out and trying to get some young people to come and attend your Sunday school class, or maybe it's an adult class, and go out and invite people to church so that, hey, you have people attending. Maybe it's a pastor of a church, and maybe not a lot of people are coming, and do you just sit around and wait for people, or do you go out? Or do you go out in the highways and byways and compel them to come in? Do you quit? Do you say, you know what, no one's coming, no one's doing this, no one's been coming, and I'm done, I'm going to move maybe somewhere else so I can see more results? And the problem is if you had endured, if you had kept going, you don't know when. One day somebody's going to come to that class. And if you're not there, if you're not ready, if there's no one to teach that Sunday school class, no one to preach that sermon, no one to do these things, then God is never going to be able to use you when the time comes. And these Old Testament believers, they had been given a promise. Hey, one day the Messiah is going to come. One day he's going to come, and you need to trust this, and you believe this, and you need to tell people about about the coming Messiah, and they believed, they trusted, they told, even though it cost them their lives. And they had not received the promise. They had not seen the Messiah, and yet was willing to allow themselves to be killed, to be sawn asunder, to be stoned, and being destitute, and all these things for the God, for the sake of the word of God that they had given, the promise that they had been given here. And all they had was what God had given them. All they had was a promise to come. They died for a promise that they hadn't seen come true. Would you be willing to give your life for something that hadn't yet happened? Sometimes God asks us to obey Him, and we don't. We don't see how, where this could be leading. And I told the Sunday school class earlier this morning, I told them how I've done faith-based messages before, talking about faith and that. And one example that I like to do is usually I pick on like a young teenager or something. I get them to come up. I get them to stand on a chair, and I say, "Hey, do you trust me?" And I always like to tease with them and act like maybe I'll let them fall back and hit the ground or something, you know, but I say, "Do you trust me?" And eventually they're okay. And I say, "Okay, close your eyes, put your hands out, and then fall back and I'll catch you." And eventually they do, they fall back and they catch me. And then I'm talking about whatever it is in the message. And then as I'm talking, I still have them standing there, and I say, "Keep your eyes closed and then be ready." And I walk around to the front of them, and now I'm standing in front of them, and I say, "Hey, do you trust me?" And they're like, and I'll say, "I want you to fall backwards, and I got you. You'll be okay." And many of them hesitate. Many of them are like, "No, what are you talking about? You're standing in front of me." And then eventually, when they do, and I kind of persuade them to do it, they'll fall backwards, and they didn't know that I had somebody there to catch me. And many times God does not tell us, God does not show us the plan for the future. We don't know the future. We don't know what's coming up. And God allows things to happen in our lives that seem tough, seem impossible. But when we learn to trust God, when we learn to have faith, then God rewards us. God blesses us. God helps us through these things. And we were talking about this morning, we were looking at, Where was that? Chapter 12, verse 2 says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God." Jesus is the author and finisher. He is the beginning and the end of our faith, and everything that we do should be trusting and having faith in God. And so when looking at this, we talked about how we can live a faith-based life because the Old Testament believers did it and they hadn't received the promise. Secondly, we can live a faith-based life because God doesn't follow our plans, but His. God doesn't always fulfill His plans, His plan precisely when we want Him to, and God doesn't fulfill His plans precisely the way we want Him to. And one thing that I always think of when I think of this is faithful members, though maybe those of you here in the church, and you have a strong prayer life. You are praying. And maybe you have a loved one that you want to see receive Christ as their Savior. You've been praying for them. Maybe you've been praying for them for decades. And yet you haven't seen that happen. You haven't seen them get saved. And if we're not careful, if we base our prayer life off of purely results, then this is when Satan comes along and he begins to cause us to doubt. He says, you know, does God really answer prayer? I mean, you've been praying for so-and-so to get saved for 40 years now, and God hasn't answered that. Does God really answer prayers? And oftentimes what happens is maybe that Christian prays and prays and prays, never sees God answer that prayer, and then one day that Christian that's been praying dies. And then the funeral comes along, and that loved one or that friend that they've been praying for comes along to the funeral service. And as they are having the funeral, and the pastor's up there, and friends and family are up there, and they're all talking about how that Christian was always so happy and joyful and had a hope, and the unsaved friend or the family member begins to think, you know, you're right, they had something. There was something different about them. They had a hope. They had a joy that I just don't understand. And the pastor gets up and he preaches a real quick message of salvation. And they come forward and they get saved. Now, did that Christian get to see that person get saved? No. They died. They're in heaven. But it doesn't mean that God didn't answer that prayer. It doesn't mean that God is not listening. And we sit there and we think that when God isn't, when we're not hearing anything, when we're not getting an answer of yes or no, that God's just not answering us. But sometimes God's answer is wait. Sometimes God's answer is not yet. Sometimes it's no, sometimes it's yes. We have to realize that God doesn't follow our plans, but His. And we heard this morning that many people like to plan their life out. God doesn't follow our plans, and He doesn't always fulfill His plans precisely when we want Him to, and He doesn't fulfill His plans precisely the way we want Him to. Sometimes people say, you know, God, I know that you want me to start tithing. I know you want me to start giving a tenth of my paycheck, weekly or biweekly or monthly, however you get paid. I know that the Bible talks about this, but I just don't see how I can do that. It's just financially, I'm not able to do that. And they may pray and say, God, if you give me $1 million, then I can start tithing. Then I can start serving or whatever it may be. Help me in this area. And then I will help you however you see fit. And, you know, we pray for this, but God would rather us learn to live with maybe a little and give by faith, so that we can see how God supplies for us. And I've told people over the years this story about how when my wife and I, when we first got married, we were living in Southern California, and money was really tight, and California is really expensive, and I got paid twice a month, and the first check went entirely to the rent, and then the second check, we had to try to make it work out and last to be able to pay any other bills and food and buy whatever we needed, and we knew that God wanted us to make sure that we tithed what we were getting, and so we were like, okay, we're going to do this, but this is going to be hard. And I remember one time we tithed, even while we were like, man, it's really tight, we got to pay this bill, but we need to tithe, and we did it, we tithed, because we knew that that's what God wanted, that God would bless us for that. And I remember the next day, I went out to the letterbox to check the mail, and I opened it up, and there's a letter from Bank of America, and I was like, oh no, you know, what are they gonna say? I owe them money or something, you know, whatever it may be. I was like, oh, this is awful. And I opened it up, and it was this letter, and it said, hey, for the last X amount of years, we have been overcharging you for stuff, and here's this check. And it wasn't a lot. It was like $50 or whatever, but it was exactly what we needed to get through the month, to pay the bills that we needed. And it was just amazing to see. And God talks about how when we do that, He will open up the windows of heaven, and pour out a blessing that we'd not be able to handle it, to hold it. And we have to realize God doesn't follow our plans, but His. God doesn't do any of this stuff to hurt us. He does it to grow us. And, Pastor Chris Lewis, definitely do not underestimate him. And he is fully capable of, like doing you ever seen Kung Fu Panda grabbing you, do a whooshy finger hold or whatever, and just throw you over his shoulder and hey, do something. He has been trained by Pastor McClure has how many black belts? 6 black belts? 8 black belts? So, he is fully capable of defending himself. And, When you are being trained and Pastor McClure down there, when you come before him and he's been training you, he knows your weaknesses, he knows your strengths, and when he brings, when you come in, you might be like, hey man, Pastor McClure, I've been working out, I've been testing myself, I'm really good up here, I want you to try me, do some upper body attacks here, and he just walks up and does a leg swoop. Down you go. And you're like, no, stop. I up here. I want you to try me up here. And then he walks up to you and you're ready up here. You're ready and you're waiting for something and he does a leg swoop. Down you go again. And you're like, oh, why do you keep doing that? Like, I'm not good down here. I'm better up here. Come on. Test me up here. Test me. And he walks up again, swoops you, boom, down you go again. And you start getting frustrated. Like, this is ridiculous. Why do you keep doing this? But if you come up again, I guarantee you that maybe, unless you're really thick in the head and you're just not catching on, by the third or fourth or fifth time, you're going to be saying, okay, he's coming for my legs. I need to be prepared. I need to have a proper stance. I need to watch out for this leg coming. And you're ready. You're prepared. And he didn't do any of that because he likes seeing you on the ground. He didn't do any of that because he wants to sit there and laugh at you and all that stuff. No, he's doing it for a reason, for a purpose, to prepare you and strengthen you and get you ready for future experiences here. And God doesn't follow our plan but his. And then lastly here, it helps us to focus when we live a faith-based life rather than a results-based life. It helps us focus more on God. And when we are focused more on the aspect of obeying out of obedience rather than gain, it changes our perspective on life. I'll give you an example of this. My daughter, I won't say her name in case she watched this. I don't want to embarrass her or anything, but one of my daughters, I got three. One day she was just little. She was maybe one and a half, two. She just started walking and that. And I said, hey, can you go over there and pick those toys up? And she was a pretty obedient child. And so she starts to walk over there. And as she gets there, she kind of pauses. I'm like, what? I'm sitting there thinking, what's she doing? She pauses and she turns around. She looks at me and she says, will I get a cookie? And I looked at her, and I was like, what do you mean, will you get a cookie? Where did that even come from? I never mentioned a cookie. I never said anything. Maybe I sit in there. Sometimes I do that, and I think, oh, if she does this, I'm going to give her something, give her a treat, you know. But I don't tell her that. I just plan on doing this. And she turns around. She goes, will I get a cookie? And, you know, we may laugh at that. We may think that's funny. But when it comes to us and God – sometimes God is asking us to do something. He's laying something on our heart. He's asking us to help with soul winning. He's asking us to help with teaching a Sunday school class or giving our tithe or whatever it may be, helping out around the church, helping cleaning and all these things. And we sit there and we go, will I get a cookie? What's in it for me? And we do that, you know, and I sit there and I think about things like churches like this, and in all these churches, they have toilets, they have bathrooms, they have places that need to be cleaned constantly. And if somebody solely cleaned the bathroom there, we call, sorry, I keep saying toilet. If I say funny words like that, I apologize. It's just words that we say in New Zealand. But the bathroom, if somebody cleans the bathroom solely because they're looking for somebody to give them recognition. Hey man, that toilet was spotless, man. The way that you took that toilet roll and you just put all, you decorated it fancy like they do in those really fancy restaurants, really fancy hotels. Man, that was amazing. You know, and they're looking for something like that. But most people don't do that, do they? They go to the bathroom, they wash their hands, they leave. And they don't look around and they say, hey, Pastor, who cleaned the toilets this week? Oh, I just want to tell them how amazing, how clean it was. You know, we don't do that. And what if it got to the point where the person that was cleaning the bathroom or did it all the time was like, hey, you know, No one ever thanks me. No one ever praises me for doing these things. I vacuum, I clean, I do these things. No one ever seems to appreciate it. I'm done. I quit. Pastor, here's my resignation. And they walk away. And that pastor now is just like, oh, I got no one else that's going to do it. And I got this that I got to do. I got to go visit these people. I got to help over here. I got service to prepare. And he is struggling to keep things clean. And as time goes on, maybe gets dirtier and dirtier and dirtier. Eventually, as new people come in, what's going to happen? They're going to start seeing things. They're going to, man, this is not very clean in here. The bathroom's never, I was ran out of toilet paper or whatever it may be. It's just nothing well. And it causes a problem. It maybe causes people to come in and they hop on Google Maps, they hop on Yelp or whatever, any sort of review places, and they say, hey, don't go into this church. It's got dirty bathrooms. Everything was dirty here and there and everywhere. And now, because you decided, a person decided to stop serving God because they didn't see the results that they wanted, now you got people being affected by it. Now you got people stop coming to church. Now you got all these other things, strains that are put on people that shouldn't have the strain. When we are focused more on the aspect of obeying out of obedience rather than gain, it changes our perspective on life. And I'm running out of time. I need to wrap this up. So we're going to look at 1 Kings. And I thought this was awesome too. Pastor preached on 1 Kings. This morning it was 1 Kings chapter 19. And we are going to be in 1 Kings chapter 17. We're going to look here at a few of the verses here. But it says, and the word of the Lord came unto him, unto Elijah, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks, and he called her, and he said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink, and a little morsel. And it goes on. And she goes on to say how, hey, mister, I'm getting ready to take this little bit of meal that I have, little bit of oil on this cruise, and I'm fixing to make myself and my son this little tiny cake, and we're going to eat it, and then we're going to get ready to die, because in case you didn't know it, it hasn't been raining, and things haven't been going well for us, and we're giving up, we're about to die. And he goes, hey, God is going to take care of you. You go make some for me first, and then make some for you and your son, and the oil and the meal and all that is not going to run dry until this drought is over. And so she trusts him. She goes. We see a great miracle. God also uses him to raise her son back to life, because he gets sick eventually and he dies and restores his health there. But where was Elijah before this situation? Before God used him in a great and mighty way. Before that, he had gone and he had told King Ahab and Queen Jezebel, hey, it's not going to rain. He goes away. God says, hey, hide yourself. And he goes and hides himself by the brook Cherith, and God takes care of him. Life is great. He's got the brook, the water there, as much water as he wants. He's got the ravens coming, bringing him food every day. Life is great. He has served God. He has done what God has asked him to do, and God is blessing him. But then, because it hasn't been raining, the water dries up. The ravens stop bringing him food. And we see here, Elijah could have gotten bitter. He could have gotten angry, because many times when God allows trials and tribulations in our life, we saw that this morning, that sometimes trials and tribulations come in our life to chasten us, to discipline us. But that's not always the case. Sometimes God brings trials and tribulations in our life to prepare us for something greater, for something ahead in life, to help us. And God says that he will not tempt us above that which we are able. And that word tempt there is also used, is also able to be, there's a word, it's used for temptation and sin, but it's also used there as the word for trials, tribulations. And so God does not tempt you in areas of sin, and God does not tempt you or put you in trials and tribulations above that which you are able, but will, with that temptation, with that trial, also make a way of escape help you to get through that. And Elijah could have gotten bitter. He could have said, God, I risked my life. I did all these things for you. And you go and you take my water away. You go and take my food away. How could you do that? And Christians, we say, God, you allowed me to lose my job. You caused me to lose my house. You caused me to lose my child. All these things. And we say, and we become bitter. We say, God, I hate you. And we stop reading our Bibles and we stop praying because why would a loving God like that do that to me? And you know, just a few months ago, I did my very first, in the last 5 months, I've done my very first funeral. I've done two funerals in the last 5 months. And I've done one wedding I just did last week. And I'm going to do my second wedding in about 2 weeks. And I've had a lot go on in the last 4 or 5 months. But my first funeral that I did was for a gentleman at the end of his life. He had lived a long life. And I was able to talk about his life and share the gospel plan to those that were unsaved there. But then, a few weeks before I left to come back here to America, I had to do a funeral for a couple that had lost their 2-month-old baby to a brutal murder. Brutally murdered. It was a horrible, horrible thing, horrible situation. But when it came time for the funeral, the husband's standing there and he says, God is good. God is good. And he kept saying that. God is good. How many of us, if God allowed our 2-month-old baby to die, would we say, God is good? You see, that man, he understands the true character of God. He understands that nothing happens without God's reason, without God's plan, without God's purpose. And that if God allowed that child to die, that there was a reason for that. And my wife reminds me that all the time as I'm driving down the highways, I'm driving down the road, and I'm getting angry at these horrible drivers and these people. And last night we're driving and I'm in my lane and this person next to me and he starts coming into my lane. He's about to hit my car and I had to react quickly. I had to move over because I had looked. I saw no one's there. I honked, let him know. I move over and then my flesh wants to be like, you horrible, horrible person, young blonde. You call them names and maybe sit there and honk on the horn and just blare and do all kinds of things to show them how angry I am. My wife constantly reminds me, hey, you don't know what's going on in that person's life. You don't know what they're going through. Let's give them some grace. Let's give them some mercy. And I go, you're right. You're right. And God brings those people in my lives to show me, hey, I need to show mercy. I need to show grace. God provided for Elijah. And Elijah had seen God provide for him. So when all this happened, and instead of getting bitter, he says, okay, God, you are good. I trust you. And God says, hey, I'm going to have you go and this widow woman is going to take care of you. And we see he trusts God. He goes and God takes care of him. And then I'm going to wrap up here with one last thing. David, the life of David. Many of us are very familiar with David. I know growing up, I said, God, I wish that I could be like David, a man after God's own heart. And when it comes to David, many of us would think, okay, David and Goliath. That's what David is known for, David and Goliath. And David, wow, David had such courage. He had such strength. He had such faith to go and to stand as a young man, young teenager, to stand before this giant of a man that has seen years and years of battle. And he got the armies of the Israelites on one side, Philistines on the other. And to sit there and go before him and say, today, God is going to give me your head. God is going to give you to me. Not me, not in my own strength, but God's going to give you. He would, and I'll tell you this though, he would never have been able to stand up in that moment and to have that courage and faith to stand there before Goliath if he had never trusted God in other areas of his life. Because where was David before that? He was handling sheep. And I can tell you from experience, because we have 60, 70 million sheep in New Zealand, only about 5 million people. There are sheep everywhere. And Sheep are not smart. They are, in fact, quite dumb. And they do some of the dumbest things, and shepherds have to deal with this. And David is in this situation. He's dealing with dumb sheep, and God allows a bear to come along. And he, instead of running and hiding over here behind a rock and say, hey, you just have a couple of those sheep. I'm going to be hanging over there. You let me know when you're done. No. He's like, these are the sheep that God has given me, and I'm going to go over there. And he goes over, and he kills the bear. And then the Bible says the lion comes along, and he doesn't just kill the bear, kill the lion. He runs after the lion, grabs the lion by the beard, and shoves his sword into him and kills the lion. And now, because he trusted God with the lion and the bear, saying, God gave me those, as he stands before King Saul, he says, God is going to give me this Philistine. And I'll tell you this, based upon the word of God, that God is preparing, God allows these things to come in your life to prepare you. And if you and I do not trust God with the lions and bears in our lives, we are never going to be able to handle the giants. And when those giants come along and we haven't trusted God with the bears and the lions, and we've said, I can do these things in my own strength, I can do this, I can do that, and we don't realize that Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith, when those things happen, that's when we go, God, I hate you. How could you do this to me? And we stop reading our Bible. And we stop praying. And we get bitter. And we stop coming to church. And maybe we pull other people out of church and get them to stop coming. And pull our children and that away from a good church family that they were in. What is your priorities when it comes to obeying God? Is it results-based? Or is it faith? Is faith the reason that you obey God? Because you see, God doesn't use potential. He uses available. So this evening, in conclusion, we must always remember that we are not the center of the universe. God is. We should never judge ourselves or others based upon the outward results, but by the obedience that is displayed. Have you been results orientated in your life? Waiting for God to come through for you and finally give you what you deserve? Why don't you stop waiting for signs this evening and just obey the leading of the Holy Spirit? So we're going to close in a word of prayer, and at the end, then Pastor Chris is going to give an invitation, a time for you to take. To surrender to the leading of the Holy Spirit, whatever God is working in your life, whatever God has been convicting in you to do, maybe it's just to start reading your Bible again. Maybe it's to start having a better prayer life, whatever it may be. Don't let Satan sit there and say, hey, you can wait. You can do that later. Because that's what he wants. He wants you to procrastinate. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that we can open the Word of God, that we can hear your heart. We can hear what you have prepared for us, Lord, and I pray that we will not just be hearers of the word, but that we will be doers. I pray that, and I'm reminded that the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrows, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And you've been working in our hearts. You've been working in each and every person that has been listening this evening. And you've been trying to tell them something that they need to maybe fix, to change. Maybe you've been encouraging, use this to encourage them to, hey, don't quit on God. Don't quit, but keep going. Keep serving. Even when it seems like no one's listening, no one's coming. Help us not to quit. Help us not to give up. Help us to keep presenting the word of God, even if no one seems to be listening. Because one day, there will be somebody that comes along and will accept you as their Savior. Because we stayed faithful. And I pray that that will be what it is said about each and every person that hears this message and is challenged and is convicted. And that we will be able to stand before you one day and hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray.
The message was given. Faith-based. Faith-based, that's really how we should operate as a church. faith-based, not results-driven. Appreciate the timely message there. Although I don't know why you had to bring up my martial arts. Now I'm going to be asked about that. Just trying to keep that a secret. Laid out that. I did that. First degree black belt, but that's pretty much it. But anyway, I appreciate the message. Appreciate you and your family being up here. And of course, this is unusual circumstances here. I mean, we're pretty much doing service on TV tonight, or on computers, or phones, or laptops, or tablets, iPads, however you want to call them tonight. But we do hope that all of you stay safe tonight and to tomorrow. And just be safe. And we want to see you again Wednesday for our Bible study prayer meeting at 7, or you can tune in on the stream. And then again Sunday morning at 11 for our morning service. And then our evening service will be taking the Lord's Supper in the morning hour next Sunday. And the youth rally coming up. And again, just react to the message, how God's led. Take some time tonight, pray, and just see how God can use you to serve Him faithfully, not just to get praise of man. As Matthew does say, those who are hypocrites get to praise of man, barely a stand to you, they have their reward. We're going to pray, and then after that, we'll conclude the service. Father, we do thank you for the day you've given to us. We do thank you for the opportunity that we had to be here together. We thank you for those who are here, those, more importantly, though, watching on our live stream. And I pray that you would just help us to be able to be faith-based. Help us to increase our faith. Keep us safe. Keep our church family safe through this winter storm here tonight and tomorrow. And also those who are even in a more serious path of it, that you would help to keep them safe and not have anybody do something that they're going to regret. We pray and ask your safety and your blessing on this ministry. In Jesus' name, amen.